Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We are here at Georgia Tech. Okay, Friel, get out of the mud. Okay, just Todd, come in from out of the rain. It's like, oh, good, this dude is walking this way. Oh, I was watching you before. Young man, can I talk to you while you're walking that way?
You know what, I'm talking. You can talk while I'm walking, yeah.
All right, dude, the haircut. What's up with the mohawk?
Well, not the mohawk.
Why?
It's freaking awesome.
You think it's awesome?
Yeah, it's awesome.
You kind of got curly hair.
I do got curly hair. That's why it's more awesome. Is I can, I don't have to put gel in it or anything. I just kind of can feather it, and it's good to go.
Is it? So you, this is the do that you're styling with?
I'm styling it for now.
Uh-huh.
I put it in. I got it for homecoming.
I figured as much.
And I'm keeping it through my fraternity's chartering date, which is in mid-November.
Aha! So it's a what's the fraternity?
Sigma Pi.
And what type of fraternity is it?
It's a social fraternity.
It's a what?
Social.
What does that mean?
It's like, it's not like a honorary professional. It's just guys who have common interests, hang out together.
Right. Is it a party fraternity?
Not so much. We do have parties. It's not like that emphasis so much, but...
It's not like Animal House.
It's not like Animal House at all.
You know Animal House?
I don't know. Who doesn't know Animal House?
Well, I don't know what they're teaching the kids these days. Good for you. You understand history.
Movie. I'm a film buff. I like
movies.
Okay,
that's different. Okay, yeah. So what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Material science and engineering.
Material science meaning?
Materials and how to, like, react when put in certain situations.
Keep going. Help me out with that.
I'm only a freshman.
That's all right. Well, you've got to have a... What do you want to do with material science?
Hopefully something with NASA, like helping develop materials or going to, like, building the new space shuttles and all that.
Is that right? Who's Werner Von Braun?
Beats me.
Dude. Okay, I got a movie for you to watch. October Sky.
October Sky.
And you'll learn. It's a movie. You'll like it.
All right.
Real clean, real sweet family film, okay. If you're into that type of thing.
I am.
And you'll learn about Werner Von Braun.
All right.
He's like one of the famous guys who really helped us get into outer space.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do you want to go there? What do you want to do there?
In outer space?
Yeah.
Experiments? Mess around? I mean, zero gravity has got to be awesome. Beats regular gravity.
So you want to go out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, dude. So here's what I'm noticing with NASA. You tell me if you think I'm right. I think they keep... Where are you going, by the way?
I'm going way down there.
All right. So here's what... Can we go this way?
Absolutely.
Do you mind?
No, absolutely.
The NASA program these days seems determined to try to get out there to figure out how we evolved.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
I had noticed that, and it's kind of weird. I mean, you can't just accept that we're here. I'm not a person of evolution or creationism. I just feel like it's really a combination of the two. But NASA, being scientists, probably more bent on figuring out that it is evolution than creationism.
So you're kind of a creationist.
I am, but as a loose creationism.
Who do you think the creator is?
God.
Who do you think God is?
I don't know. He's like an entity, almost. I do believe there's a physical God out there. I mean, somewhere in the universe.
Uh-huh.
I believe there is actually a physical God who can gather materials, like ions and all that, and send them to places. And with that, they can form life forms.
Uh-huh. So does this God of yours have a name? Are you a religious guy?
Not particularly, but right. I just call him God.
Just God?
Yeah.
So where could I learn about this God? Is there a book? Are you a Christian? Bible, Quran, any of that stuff?
Combination. I also like to read religious doctrines.
But you're not a Christian?
No.
How come?
I don't know, just... My mom's Jewish, my dad's Christian. They never really forced religion upon me.
Uh-huh.
I just read the doctrines because I find the old stories interesting.
Okay. So what is the story of Christianity? What does that teach? Based on what you've researched.
It's just be a good person, do good unto others, and good stuff will happen to you.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like karma, almost, if you will.
It is not.
Yeah, I think so. I do believe if you
I've
do
read
good
the
stuff,
Bible. It doesn't say that.
It's like an interpretation, almost. Like, you do good stuff to other people, and they're going to want to return the favor, and then you're going to have good things coming your way, which is karma.
Mm-mm. That's not what it teaches. Young man, I beg to differ. Okay.
I haven't read it that closely, apparently.
All right, let me tell you what I think it's about, okay? Right. Here we go. You ready for this? This is going to be a little tricky. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, this is worse than a hazing, potentially. Okay. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sometimes. Right. I admit that sometimes I don't make the right decisions.
All right. Have you ever told lies in your life?
Yes.
How many do you think?
Too many to count.
All right, a lot of them.
I'm a compulsive liar.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you lying to me now?
Nope.
About being a compulsive liar?
I'm
How would somebody
lying.
Know? You know, think about that for a second.
Oh, believe me, it's interesting. Because when I tell people that, they're like, are you lying about that right now? I'm like, no.
I'm not the first. How many things have you stolen in your life?
None.
Don't lie to me.
I've never stolen a thing in my life.
All right, let's try this one. Lusting. How's about that?
Not really.
Dude.
I mean, we're at Georgia Tech. Where's my chance to lust around here?
I don't know. Have you is the question.
That's okay. No, I'm serious.
You're a guy, right?
Yes,
and you're telling me you have never had an impure thought. Now I know you're lying to me.
An impure thought that I've had.
Yeah, huh? Okay, and I want to ask about anything else further, like maybe pornography, looking at dirty pictures, any of that stuff. Okay, so what do we have? Two strikes right now?
Yeah.
Toward being a not good person?
Yeah.
Okay, how's about honoring your parents? Do you always do everything you were told as a kid?
Yes.
Dude, cut it out.
I am. I'm serious. They would beat me.
They were, what?
They've threatened to beat me before. And
why would they threaten to beat you? Because you were naughty.
I wasn't naughty. I just
didn't do what you were told.
I was bending the rules a little bit.
Okay. So, hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Boy, I wish we could chat. I'll see you again, okay?
Bye.
I remember that dude.
Well,
nice young man. Okay, so you were like every other kid.
Yeah.
And you didn't do everything you were told, Johnny on the spot, right?
Of course not.
All right. So here's the question. Christianity, remember that's what we're talking about. Let's say you die. God judges you. Every thought, every word, every deed. Mm-hmm. Innocent or guilty?
Overall, innocent, but I do make some guilty. There's some guilt in there.
Okay, but it's not an overall kind
it's
of thing.
It's not overall guilt.
But if you break a law, then you are guilty, period.
If you break a law, like numerous times, you break a law once.
You're guilty.
Per se. You're guilty of that law, but I don't think overall, in the grand scheme of things, well,
sure
you're
guilty. You are. Like, for instance, if a guy rapes somebody, he's a rapist. He's a criminal.
Yes.
If you tell a lie, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Steal something, you're a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Lust, you're an adulterer at heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd be guilty.
All right.
Okay, heaven or hell? What would God do with you?
With me?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good thing to think about. I'd probably say heaven right now, because I'm not that awful of a person. I mean, it's little things, but they add up. So it might be hell. I don't know.
But if the judge disagreed and he thought they were big things, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters. It doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think?
Right? Yep.
So the Bible says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire for lying, because it's a big deal to God.
Yep.
All right. So, dude, it doesn't sound good for you.
No, it doesn't.
All right, we were talking about what Christianity is, right? You kind of said it's kind of a karma, do good, and it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I don't think that's what it is. All right, before you go into your building, real quick, you've heard this somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
God should give you hell. What has he done so that you can have your sins forgiven? Because this is what Christianity is about.
Jesus dying for the sins.
It's about grace. That's what Christianity is about. It's not doing good. We've done bad. We should get punished by God, but he died to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'll repent, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What?
It means feel bad about it. Be sorry.
That's part of it, and turn from your sins.
Yes.
Okay, you don't become perfect, but you turn from your sins with a new attitude, and you put your trust in Jesus and in him alone.
All right.
The Bible says you do that because he was punished on a cross on your behalf.
Right.
It's like your badness, you're the criminal, it got put on the innocent man. He got punished on your behalf, and all of his goodness can be credited to your account.
Okay.
So that you can be seen as perfect by God because of what Jesus did for you.
Okay.
That's what Christianity is about.
All right.
Not karma. That's kind of like Buddhism and Hinduism and stuff. And there's some rules that, you know, typically if you behave, life goes better. But that's not karma because God's in control of everything.
Right.
Okay, so my question for you is, have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
Not that I can remember. I was like 2 years old when it happened.
Yeah. But if you ever have been, you remember it, because it's like, whoa, that was like a big deal. Same thing is true with getting saved by God. It's kind of a big deal when you die to yourself and he makes you alive and he changes your attitude, your heart, your desire.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start liking the things that you never used to like before, like other Christians, reading the Bible, and the sins that you used to love, suddenly I don't want those anymore because He died to save me. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. So I don't, dude, I don't know if you're like right with God or not, but something to ponder, because 18, you're a young man and you're thinking these things through. I'm guessing. Like, what am I believing? Because you don't believe what your parents believe.
Right.
It doesn't make you that. You have to think it through yourself. So what you just heard is the gospel.
Okay.
I can't club you and make you one.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to chase you into your dorm here. Just think about it, okay?
Okay, I will.
Because, dude, I don't want you to go to hell.
Neither do I.
And God doesn't want that either.
All right.
The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So the offer is open to you, repentance and faith. You got a Bible?
No.
You got one online, though?
My roommate has a Bible, though.
Rock on. Grab that bad boy. Open it up and read the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Can you remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, all right. Dude. I'm glad you had a mohawk so we can chat. All right, man. So how, are you going to get into your little fraternity deal? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, it's already happened.
But you live in a dorm. This isn't a frat.
I'm a freshman. I'm not allowed to live in the house yet. We don't have one anyway, so.
They don't let you live in the house yet until you're what year?
We don't have a house. We're chartering. We're becoming an official fraternity.
Ah, you're doing it yourselves. All right, man.
All right, Father.
Hey, thanks for the chat.
Thanks, man.
See you. Goodbye. So that's witnessing. Sometimes you're going to get some crabby guys. Sometimes you're going to get some older guys. We'll see what kind of guys we get next. We're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus, with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my King who saved me?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Getting some exercise, dude. What's your name?
Lewis.
Lewis, thanks for joining me on the radio.
Yeah, no problem.
We're going to walk up the hill, so I'm going to get a little winded, all right?
Okay, that's fine.
So have a little grace.
Oh, so I should go a little slower.
That would be nice.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we can go fast down the hill.
Okay, cool.
But up the hill,
we'll go a little slower.
Because, you know, I'm over 30 now.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Here's a question for you. Right. Kind of a philosophical, maybe a religious question.
Okay.
Bernoulli's law, or any other law of physics, are those laws put in place and written, or is that simply the way that we discover how things randomly happen?
I think it's the way we discover how things randomly happen.
So nobody wrote the laws, and we're discovering them. We're writing the laws for what we observe.
So it's just like, this is a question of, did someone, like, let's say a god, put those laws in place?
Yeah.
Well, either way, I mean, we're discovering them. I mean, we didn't make them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So they were created either by some higher being, or they were just created by some scientific explanation, like the Big Bang Theory.
What do you think? God or no God?
Well, I don't know.
You're getting winded, aren't you?
Well, I mean, this is a...
Look at you, whippersnapper.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, but I would say that it's actually all science-based.
No God.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean I don't believe in God. That just means I feel like there's evidence enough to support, you know, all sorts
of
things.
Hold on, I'm going to do a scientific experiment with you, all right? All right, Lewis, right?
Yes.
Are you Italian?
Spanish, or half Spanish.
Oh, there you go, that makes sense. All right, I'm reading this sign. Okay. Old Civil Engineering Building.
Yes.
You know those letters, how they got there?
Someone wrote them.
Were you here to witness that person writing those letters?
No, I was not.
Are you sure somebody wrote those letters and put them there?
That's a good argument. I see where you're going with that.
Because if I tried to convince you it just happened over millions of years, you'd go, no way, dude. Because it happens to not only make sense,
but it's
standing outside of the building that happens to be the old civil engineering building.
Right. Someone would look at that and say,
boing.
Huh.
It's designed by somebody.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like we just have this automatic response. We see something designed and we go, well, clearly somebody put it there, just like somebody made the old civil engineering building.
Didn't see them
make them, but somebody made that thing because there it is. I got the proof.
Uh-huh.
Would that be a fair argument for saying, okay, I didn't see God make the place, but look at that tree here in front of the engineering building and this amazing globe and the universe, the clouds, and look at that hand, the way that those phalanges work.
It all works so well.
Somebody made this. Uh-huh. Would that be fair?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, that argument makes sense, but for some reason, I wouldn't accept that argument. I mean,
why not?
Just because, I mean, I just know that a person built this. I mean, I know it wasn't placed there. And it's just that knowledge, I guess, contradicts that, I suppose.
Wait a second, hold on. You know for sure that somebody designed it. But if I came along and said to you, no, I've got scientific proof. There was a stack of bricks that blew up and it became that building.
Well, if you showed me that evidence, then I would believe that. But then that's supporting my point that something scientific
did. Okay, so then I guess it boils down to this. Do you think that putting dynamite underneath a pile of bricks and blowing it off with just power going every place would ever make that building?
I think you'd have to have several different explosions because they would all go apart. You know, all the bricks would go apart. I don't think they'd randomly do that.
Have you ever seen an explosion?
No, but I mean, I'm pretty sure
parts like in a movie. You know, when stuff blows up, it's like, it just goes crazy everywhere.
Well, I mean, there's like, that's the whole thing. Like, you say if you had 1,000 monkeys and you gave them all typewriters, one of them would type the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Somebody actually did the statistics on that. Uh-huh. And you know what? They actually did that study. Uh-huh. And they think they put like 12 monkeys in a room for a while, and they never came up with even like the word it.
Really?
Nothing.
Hmm.
Because they're monkeys and they don't have intelligence to design stuff.
Well, so can I ask you a question?
You may.
So why
Thanks
did you come to a tech campus to ask these questions? I mean, these seem more like a philosophical,
religious,
type.
Really,
right? Yeah,
yeah. Because we like this subject.
You like this subject, and so you'll ask it anywhere, particularly at a tech school,
any place, to anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But we happen to be a Christian radio show too.
Okay.
So we like to talk to. We love talking about this subject. Actually.
Okay. So I guess my views kind of differ from those of your radio station.
I'm not going to beat you up. Okay. I don't think I could anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of smart. I think I'm future.
Look at me, though. I think we could win. One of us would win the Spindly Award. Okay, so you're not a Christian, right?
Well, I'm not sure about that, actually. I'm kind of in a phase of my life where I'm not sure what I am.
Did you grow up in the church?
No, but during high school, I went with a friend to church occasionally, and it was a non-denominational group, and I actually liked it, and was kind of interesting, and then at some point I just decided I actually didn't like it. So now I'm in a point in my life where I don't know what I think.
Tell me, what is the gospel, Lewis? Do you know what it is?
Isn't that the New Testament?
Good for you. Yeah, that's right. It is. Sorry. The gospel specifically, the good news. Like, what's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I believe it's that we're all saved if we love each other and love, you know, God.
That's warm. That's pretty close.
Okay.
Okay, saved from what?
Eternal damnation in hell.
Why would God eternally damn a guy like you and me?
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, he could be disgusted at the way we acted, but, I mean, if let's say you acted totally normally and as a nice guy, but you didn't follow God, I still believe he would put you in damnation. And I'm actually not sure about that.
Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
Yes. I couldn't name all of them.
They're basically God's laws,
right.
The rules that he has. Okay. So you die, Lewis.
Okay.
The books get opened up. God knows everything that you've ever done and all the stuff that you failed to do. Mm-hmm. Thanking him for food and for education and for your past nice experiences and everything that you've enjoyed. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been first in your life. Plus, you've broken all of his laws. Mm-hmm. Would you be innocent or guilty before that God?
I would say I'd probably be guilty, to be totally honest.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a guilty guy, and God's holy and perfect and righteous and just, what should he do with Lewis? Send him to heaven or send him to hell?
Well, I mean, I guess the correct answer there is hell. But, I mean, this is where my question comes up. If I've never ever done anything, like, in a purely malevolent sense, if I at least try to do the right thing, I don't understand necessarily why that is. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I understand. And what it requires is, the question isn't how do I see it? The question is, how does God see it? That's really the big thing, because the criminal can say, well, this is how I see it, Judge. But the judge says,
right,
doesn't matter,
that's
this is how I see it.
Okay.
And things like lusting, for instance. Okay, we tend to say guys will be guys, but we could stop it. We don't have to. We don't have to lie. Uh-huh. We don't have to get angry at somebody. But we do. So we are basically living our lives the way that we want to. In rebellion.
Okay.
So God should give you hell for what you've earned.
Yes. According to your...
That's right. The Ten Commandments in the Bible. Right.
Right. But, I mean, that, again, goes back to the whole philosophical question about what is...
What's true.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't believe me, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying...
No, it's okay, I'm not offended.
I mean, I'm just saying that, it's all in a point of view, too. I mean, according to your point of view, well, I'm in
but
trouble.
But it does make sense, though, doesn't it? There's something that says, you know, I kind of know God exists, and I know that I've done bad things, and if there's any justice, and I think there is, I've got a bad feeling about dying. I think that's why we're scared to die.
Well, because you're guilty of all sorts of things.
It could just be something bad. Okay, Lewis.
Yes.
I asked you before what the gospel is.
Yes.
Okay, now, I'll ask you again.
Yes.
Let's say the Bible is right. Not me. The Bible is right.
Okay.
God judges you.
Uh-huh.
He should send you to hell.
Right.
What is the gospel?
The gospel would be saving myself from that. Being saved from that.
No. Here's the problem. You can't save yourself. It's too late. You're the guilty criminal.
Oh, I guess it'd be like mercy, is that?
Yeah.
Like his mercy towards me?
Specifically, his mercy and his kindness. Here's the tension we got, Lewis.
Okay.
God's holy and he's just, and he's got to punish guys like you because you've done bad. And he can't just go, well, boys will be boys, I'm going to let them go. He's got to get you.
Okay.
But he's loving and he's kind. He's just rich in mercy. But he can't just let you go. He's got to punish you, but he loves you, and he doesn't want you to go to hell.
Right.
So his plan to save you was to send his son, whose name is?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, to take the punishment you deserve 2,000 years ago. God poured out his wrath on his son on your behalf.
Uh-huh.
It's like your badness was put on the innocent man.
Okay.
And he took the punishment for you so that his goodness, his perfect life and suffering could be credited to your account so that you can be seen as perfect before God because of what Jesus did on your behalf. Mm-hmm. That's the goodness of the gospel. You're a guilty criminal, and Jesus paid your fine for you so that you can be reconciled to your God. That's the good news of the gospel.
That's guilty criminals
being forgiven.
Right.
Yeah. But you have got to respond to that good news. You can't just walk away now and go, oh, okay, good. I'm clear and good to go. Because you're not. The Bible says you've got to repent, which means agree with God.
Right.
You exist. I have sinned against you. I've been selfish. I've lived for myself. I've been the king of my own world. And I've sinned against you in countless ways. And I'm sorry. And you turn from your sins. You don't just magically become perfect. But you just have a new attitude toward the stuff you used to love. And you put your trust in Jesus who died for you. The Bible says when you repent and trust the Savior, He'll completely forgive your sins. He'll adopt you as His child. And He'll grant you everlasting life because of what Jesus did on your behalf. That's the gospel.
That sounds pretty good.
Now, you're a young man. You got to figure out if it's true or not.
Right. Well, I mean, that's really the biggest question.
Because it sure is.
I mean, once you know it's true, then it'd be silly not to do it. But it's really a question of figuring out in your life, you know, what exactly is true. And,
yep. I agree. All right, we stop. We're going to keep walking. I'm taking a break. We're walking. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Breaker production of Fortis Institute. A Catholic priest in Canada checked into the hospital with a fractured hip, and twice the staff offered to help him die instead. Father Larry Holland says a doctor raised Canada's assisted death program shortly after he was admitted, and a nurse brought it up again later, both fully aware he was a priest and that the church rejects euthanasia outright. Canada, of course, legalized assisted death in 2016 for people whose death was, quote, reasonably foreseeable, and that standard has gotten awfully flexible. A disabled veteran was offered a suicide kit when all she wanted was a wheelchair ramp, and activists now want it opened to children as young as 12. Yeah, scripture says God is the one that numbers our days, but Canada, well, I guess it figures it can do the math a whole lot better than God. And speaking of Canada, it's exporting more than grim ideas about death. President Trump says that America is being, quote, unnecessarily invaded by filthy, polluted air drifting down from nearly 900,000 Canadian wildfires. The smoke triggered air quality warnings for more than 100 million Americans across 18 states and even postponed a big league baseball game. Trump blames willful negligence and years of refused forest management and says the cost should be added to the tariffs Canada already pays. Ontario's premier shot back that America should send help instead of complaints. Fair enough, though it's a little rich coming from the country whose forests are the ones that are on fire. And speaking of bad things crossing the border, a British writer warns the American left is using Britain as an offshore laboratory, testing ideas too toxic to pass Congress and selling them back to us as proven. And the list, well, it's long, like windfall taxes that gutted British energy, congestion charges that jump from London to New York, soda taxes, and speech laws that send police to your door over a tweet. Now, progressive American money is funding massive class action lawsuits in British courts dressed up in climate justice. And this British writer's warning was blunt. The free world will hang together or it'll hang separately. British prosecutors have hit online influencer Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan with 38 new charges, bringing their total to 59. The pair were arrested in Miami over the weekend on a sealed British warrant, setting up a likely extradition flight. The charges include rape, human trafficking, and for Andrew, 19 counts tied to illegal images of children. The brothers deny everything, of course they do, and call the whole thing a political hit. The women at the center of the case? Well, it seems like they're finally going to get their day in court. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have ourselves a black and yellow bumblebee. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech, asking young people the question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be?
What would be the ultimate plan for the universe?
Really?
Yes.
Like, what's the point?
Yes.
What do you think it is?
currently, I think it's for everybody to continue to better themselves, to see what people can build of what we have with us today and improve what we're given.
So are you kind of an Indian or an Eastern philosopher?
No, I read various philosophies. I've described myself more of a Machiavellian in terms of philosophy.
Machiavellian?
Yes.
So in other words, you want to be in charge of everything?
Well, not necessarily, but I view that a strong series of policies is necessary and that self-betterment will be one of our ultimate goals.
Uh-huh. And who would you like to have enforcing those policies?
I don't think any single person is capable of enforcing those policies.
You're supposed to say you. That's the Machiavellian answer. You.
Well, yes, you would work if you was ever perfect, which Machiavellian relies on laws garnering what you can do.
It was so that he's the one who's in charge.
Yes, in that situation. He felt that he should ultimately be in charge.
See, that's the problem with totalitarianism right there.
Yes.
It's just the corrupt nature of man.
Yes.
Do you think that man is basically good or bad?
I believe that man is generally good. However, within the terror of being good, we do have a corrupt nature behind it.
Oh, wow. Okay, I disagree completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I can prove it.
All right.
With you. All right. Okay. I think you've got a corrupt nature.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna ask you a series of questions. We'll see if we can prove that you've got a corrupt nature.
Okay.
How many lies in your young life do you think you've told?
Numerous.
How many?
I wouldn't be able to give you a firm number on that.
A lot of them.
Yes.
All right. So if I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
Well, of corrupt, of course.
Specifically, though, considering the issue, rhymes with pants on fire.
Liar.
Liar, okay. All right, so you're a liar. Can we agree to that?
Sure.
Okay. How many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
None that I'm aware of.
I'm not talking about like credit card fraud. Mm-hmm. You know, from a sibling, from your mom or dad, downloading music, checking into work but not really working, anything that would be stealing.
Wouldn't really say I've had any of those experiences.
Nothing,
no.
All right. Only you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. How's about being a perfect child? Were you always Johnny on the spot doing everything that you were told to do?
Well, not always, no. Generally, yes. Of course, times you'll do what you want to do rather than...
Don't make me call your mother. I'll ask her. Okay, because you were not just like any other kid. You know, you go to McDonald's and you see that kids are just monsters the way they behave and stuff, and you were probably pretty much the same, right? All right, a little more probing.
Okay.
Your thought life and your heart. Lusting. Mm-hmm. X-rated thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Lusting after women. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. How many times today?
Today, maybe a few times.
A few times. Okay. Yes. And how old are you?
I am 17.
17. 17?
Yes.
You're going to school here?
Yes, I'm in the early admissions program here.
So you're really smart.
Hopefully.
Dude, wow, so good for you. Well done. So how did you get out of high school that quick?
Well, Georgia Tech is a program that will accept people who rank high enough on paper from their junior year of high school directly without graduating.
Wow.
So I haven't graduated yet.
Good for you. Well, that's terrific. Okay, so lusting. So you're 17. So let's say 5 years a few times a day.
Okay.
All right, you're the math guy. Go. What is it? 365 times 3 would be about 1,000 a year times... So 5,000 times.
Yes.
Inside of your heart, when nobody was looking, you had thoughts that would be, well... Mom and dad wouldn't be really thrilled to know that their son was thinking that. Right?
All right.
Okay. So that, to me, sounds pretty corrupt.
Well, I would hold that's still a corrupt lining within it. That the majority of the time you're working to achieve whatever you view as your goal. However that goal may be.
Okay, that's Machiavellian for sure, you're describing. But that's still... That's kind of skirting around the issue of whether you are basically good or basically bad. Hmm. I mean, if you've lusted 5,000 times, assuming, of course, that's a bad thing, and lied a lot of times, and dishonored your parents when you were just being naughty, and maybe coveting, desiring stuff that doesn't belong to you, maybe vulgarity out of your mouth, well, that would make you actually not good, wouldn't it?
Well, that would mean that part of you is not good, however... would hold that the majority of you could still be good and that working to achieve what you're working on, really.
All right, let's see if we can reason together.
All right.
Let's say I'm a criminal and I'm standing before the judge and I've committed 5,000 crimes.
Yes.
Give or take.
Yes.
5,000 crimes. And I said to the judge, but judge, that's just a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, part of you? You've broken the law 5,000 times. You are a bad criminal.
Yes.
You got to go to jail.
Yes.
I mean, what if I even said, well, but judge, I've done 5,000 nice things. He'd say, I don't care.
Sure,
you're
still going.
You're a bad dude. You've broken the law 5,000 times.
You're still going to be punished for the negative things that have happened.
All right.
Similarly in life, if you continue to do things that would be deemed corrupt.
Let me drop something on you. You see what you think about this, okay?
I
think you said if you could ask God one question, it would be, what's the point? You know, what are we doing here?
All right. Yes.
Let's say you died and God judged you. Do you think that you'd be going to heaven or hell?
Really not sure on that one.
No.
I would have to do
You've
that.
Broken his laws at least 5,000 times.
Yes.
And he knows everything you've done, every deed in darkness, every thought that you've had, every time you failed to thank him for error.
Yes.
So he knows that you've broken his laws. What should he do if he's just and if he's good?
Punishment.
Exactly.
Hmm?
So you would be going to...
Hell.
Dude, horrible thought. Okay. I happen to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What does Christianity say is your... The good news of the gospel. What is the way that God has provided so that you don't have to go to hell?
Essentially, repenting for your sin.
That's right.
Yes.
But there's the big component, though. The reason that we do that is because of Jesus.
Yes.
Because he died on a cross. Mm-hmm. The unjust, or the just for the unjust. In other words, the good guy dying for you, the bad guy.
Yes.
He lived the perfect life, kept all the laws, all the rules that you've broken. He kept them.
Mm-hmm.
He was beaten by men, put on a cross, taking the wrath of the Father on your behalf, so that if you'll repent and put your trust in him, then all of your sins will be forgiven and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
Okay. Now that fits into, what are we doing here? Because I think the biblical answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how you glorify God. One of two ways. You will glorify God by living the rest of your life for yourself and breaking his laws, and then he'll give you what you've earned. He'll pay you your wages for what you've done on earth.
Yes.
Sinning, lying, lusting, porn, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you exactly what you deserve, and he'll send you to hell for that. And he'll be glorified because he's going to get the last laugh, if you will. He'll get the last word. You're in hell because you're the lawbreaker, and he's still sitting on the throne.
Exactly.
Okay. There's another way that you can glorify God, and it's a much grander way. You can repent, say you're sorry, and turn from your sins and put your trust in his son, and he'll forgive you so that for all of eternity, everybody can point to you and say, that's how nice God is. He's that kind. He saved that dirty, rotten sinner. That's how good he is. And
yes.
That is how you can glorify God in this life, is by repenting and trusting his son so that God can be glorified for being a good God and saving a bad guy like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the biblical answer to why are we here?
Yes.
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yes.
What do you do with that?
Well, I believe you have to take the reasoned decision on that. You have to look at what you're going to achieve within your life and how well you value that against eternity, really, in terms of would you live your life as you're currently living now, say you enjoy that, and very much dislike your eternity, versus live your life to that standard now and have a blissful eternity and glorify God in that manner.
You actually just said something that Jesus asked. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his very soul?
Yes.
You just kind of expanded that whole concept right there. So do you believe that? Young man, do you believe that Jesus died for you, a sinner?
Yes, I do.
Have you repented and put your trust in him?
No, I have not.
So... thinking time, maybe, on the bench here at Georgia Tech today.
Of course.
Something for you to ponder, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah. Always time to reconsider things.
Yeah. Did you go to church as a kid?
No, I did not.
Yeah. But you've heard this before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Well, it's really important that you know, you can sit and read a newspaper article, and it really doesn't affect you.
Mm-hmm.
But something has to happen with the information I just gave to you that's different than just reading a newspaper article. It's got to be real. First of all, the story itself has to be real. The newspaper article has to be true. But you have to respond to it. It's not enough to just get it, read the story or hear the story and go, that's interesting.
Yes.
I find that fascinating. Mm-hmm. You've got to respond to it.
Yes.
In childlike humility and repentance and faith. Because if you don't do that, God says that you'll show up for judgment day and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yes.
So think about it, because I would tell you it's true. And your reason for living is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And He wants to do that primarily by saving you. He will send you to hell because He's just and He must. But He would much rather demonstrate His kindness by saving a guy like you and me. So think about the gospel. Do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
Good for you. Get home and read the Gospel of John and just read about it. And don't trust me. I'm a complete stranger, a guy on a bench with a microphone. Read the Bible and see if you agree that God is your Savior, that Jesus is your Savior, and He died to save you. Repent and put your trust in Him. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
You're an interesting young man. Thanks for the chat. Right. I enjoyed this very much. Thanks for the chat, dude.
Thank you.
All right, see you, man. Goodbye. Enjoy the book. Pray for him, would you? This is Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clausen, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense of a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature, and His wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Young man, hold on. While you're walking at your slow galloping pace, which is just my style, could I talk to you on the radio while you're walking?
What for?
I want to ask you some questions about you.
Sure.
And I got a big surprise for you, and if you don't like it, you can punch me in the nose and walk away.
All right?
Dude, how tall are you?
6'6".
Six? No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Dude. No, because I think I'm taller than you, and I'm not 6'6". No, wait a second. Stand up straight. Oh, maybe you are taller than me.
I don't know. Can't really tell. Maybe...
The spiky happenings. Hair?
Might be the hair.
Could be. All right. What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Mechanical engineering.
So you want to be, let me guess, a mechanical engineer?
Good guess. That was pretty good.
Pretty sharp, aren't I? How old are you?
19.
19 years old. You come from where?
Brazil.
Really?
Yes.
You speak English well.
Oh, well, I've been here for about 5 years now, so...
But you grew up speaking Spanish, or is it Brazilian? Is there a difference?
It's Portuguese, but grew up in a Spanish-speaking country, so...
So you are a Spanish speaker?
Yes, sir.
You have no accent. Well,
thank you.
Not that I would care if you did, but I'm just saying, you've done well with that. Which language is easier?
By now, I'd say English, because missed out on Spanish for a long time, so I don't get to practice
much. But technically, which one is easier to learn, to speak?
Oh, to learn and speak? I would say English.
Here's the rule that I've heard. English is the easiest language to learn. It's the hardest language to learn how to speak well.
That could be true, yeah.
Because the grammar is not very Greek
Spanish
or Latin.
It's real too tricky. Many variations to all the words, and it's a lot of memorizing, a lot of things.
Sure
things
is.
That change.
All right, now, in Brazil, it is Roman Catholic, correct?
Yeah.
Are you Roman Catholic?
Yes.
Good. Tell me why I should be a Roman Catholic.
I don't know. I mean, it's all your choice. I'm not going to try to convince you.
No, I want you to. Please.
I have no idea. I could not tell you. I mean, I haven't been to church in a while, but that's just how I was raised. I don't really know the beliefs and everything.
So do you think you are really a Roman Catholic?
I am just by my parents. I'm not really, I mean...
I'm not trying to be sarcastic. What's your dad do for a living?
He's a Spanish teacher.
Are you a Spanish teacher?
No.
So are you sure you're Roman Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, so... But you don't know why a guy like me should become a guy like you.
I don't.
Other than we could be on the Catholic volleyball team together and clean up.
If they have one, yeah.
If they have one. All right. So you don't have an understanding of the basic beliefs of Roman Catholicism.
No. I mean, I do.
How does a guy like you get to heaven?
Doing good.
Have you been doing good?
I believe I have.
Have you been doing bad?
Every once in a while.
How often?
I don't know.
Okay. Should God reward you and send you to heaven, or should he punish you and send you to hell?
Reward.
You sure?
Yeah.
What about the laws you've broken?
I mean, God always says forgiveness. He can forgive everyone if he forgives you.
Yeah, that's right. There's something there about forgiveness. But let's get to that in just a second. If you're guilty, what should he do with you? The right thing for a just judge to do with a guilty criminal is...
Send him to jail.
Send him to jail. In this case, it would be to send him to hell, right? Okay. Now, the forgiveness part. Where does that fit into this picture here? How does that work?
It's just not the same as... You can't really consider it the same as a justice system because they don't really forgive. I mean, they go by the facts. If you're guilty, you're guilty. You go to jail. If you're innocent, you don't. But by what? You know, religion says God will forgive you if you repent. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're innocent or guilty. I mean, if you have it deep in your heart, you really repent, he will forgive you.
Yeah. Okay, but here's in hearing you say that, there's a problem, though. If God just says you're forgiven because you say you're really, really sorry, that isn't justice.
It's not just saying you're really, really sorry. You have to, it's from deep inside, you have to mean it, not just... Be like, oh, I'm sorry I did this. It's like you do bad your whole life and wait till the moment before you die and then just say you're sorry. That doesn't work like that.
But here's what I'm still confused about, though. The whole issue of justice. What about the bad stuff that you've done? How does that get compensated for?
I mean, just erase it.
Just,
I mean,
it's gone.
If the president has the power to do that, erase everyone's record. I mean, the president, I don't know how many years he gets to forgive those people for everything, whatever they did. I'm pretty sure God has a greater power than that.
Let's try this one, all right? And we'll let you scoot, all right?
All right.
Let's try this one. Let's say you're a guilty guy. You're standing in the courtroom of God's justice, and he knows the books. Okay, they're wide open. He knows everything you've done in secret, every deed done in darkness, every thought, everything you've failed to do. The gavel's coming down, and you're guilty, and he should punish you. But if somebody steps into the courtroom and says, Judge, I love that man, and I will take the punishment that he deserves... The judge could commute your sentence to that man and you could be set free because he took the punishment for you. And justice then could be satisfied, and the judge can show mercy to you based on what that man did for you.
I don't know. I don't think that would work out. I don't think that's fair.
But that's, well, it's not fair for that guy.
Yeah.
But it's good news for you if you're the criminal, right?
Yeah.
That's the gospel, dude. That's what the Bible teaches, right? Isn't that the good news of the gospel?
I'm not sure.
You're the criminal. Jesus is the God-man who loves you, who took the punishment, the wrath of the Father, on your behalf by dying on a cross for you so that your court case can be dismissed. You've broken God's laws, but Jesus paid your fine.
All right.
So that you can go to heaven, not because you're a good guy, because you're not. You're like the rest of us. You're a bad guy. But you can be forgiven by a very good God because of what he did. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Have you ever heard that before?
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the last question. If forgiveness is available for you so that you don't have to go to hell, you can have your slate wiped clean and be adopted as God's child and brought into a right relationship with the God who is presently angry at you. You used the word repentance a minute or two ago. What does that mean?
Means deep inside, not just saying the words, but you are really, truly sorry for everything, all the bad things, breaking the commandments, everything that you have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
And yeah. Turning from your sins. It's not that you become perfect, but you just, I don't want that stuff anymore. Yeah. I want to go in his direction, not mine. There's one other thing you need to do to be saved. Repent and trust. It's repentance and faith. Kind of two sides of the same coin. You turn from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus, your fine payer. That's how you get your sins forgiven. You don't earn your way to heaven. It's been earned for you. And that way, he gets the credit for being a good God, for saving a bad guy like you. That's the gospel. Okay, so I'm going to scoot. Have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in the Savior?
I have.
Really?
Yes.
When did that happen?
I mean, when I was a young kid. When I was still, you know, going to church, all that. And school, I went to a Catholic school. I was raised Catholic, so I went to a Catholic school. It's just, I mean, tell you the truth, with school and everything, you don't really get a chance to go back to the old ways and go to church and be, you know, do all the good things that you used to do, so.
Right. Okay, so I'm not your judge. I don't send people to hell or send them to heaven. Okay, my last question. Tricky word. I know. Is Jesus precious to you?
Yes.
All right, dude. See ya. Thanks for your chat. See ya, man. Goodbye. If he is, then why isn't he living that way? Please do the same. Don't be deceived. It should fall right out of your mouth if somebody says to you, "What's going to happen to you when you die?" Oh, it should just be so easy because it was so extraordinary when it happened. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Do you need to know the moment, the second that this happened when you got born again? No, not the moment or the second. But you should be able to look back in your life sometime and say, you know, I remember that season. I used to be living like that. Then God changed my heart, and now I'm living like this. I have new affections. If you will, there's three components, three parts of salvation. Because people can outwardly reform themselves. They can make themselves look good. Well, that doesn't mean you're saved. Now, if you're saved, that will happen. An outward difference. You are living a different lifestyle. But there's more. Two parts, really. There needs to be a heart change. The inward affections, not just behaving a certain way so that people will think a certain thing, but because you want to, because you love this God who saved you. But that's not all there is to it either, because if you believe that Barney the dinosaur is the God, then you are without hope because you don't believe in the true God. So your theology needs to be straight too. You need to believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the fully God, fully man, Savior of the world. Not a Jehovah's Witness version, not a Mormon version, only the Jesus of the Bible, fully God, fully man. You've got to have a different lifestyle to prove you're a Christian. But that doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to have a different heart that proves you're a Christian. But that doesn't make you a Christian either. If your theology isn't right, please examine yourself. don't show up on Judgment Day and hear the final sentence, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." It will chill you to the bones before you get thrown right into the flames, and there is no going back. So examine yourself today. Repent and put your trust in Him today. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.